that we might truly be your people. Lord, I pray for your anointing to be upon me as I preach this morning, that I would speak with power and with truth, and that your word would be the one presented, and that it would be your name lifted up and glorified. Lord, we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, a couple weeks ago, we first looked at Zephaniah, we saw that there was a reformation taking place, or at least being called for. We had change happening. People were recognizing that it wasn't good enough to worship God on the Sabbath and to worship Baal the rest of the week. That wasn't really being a Christian. That wasn't being a Jew. And that's not being a Christian. For us to mix who we worship. We can't say, well, I'm going to kind of cover all my bases. And we also saw that we're supposed to seek the Lord before He brings the judgment. But that judgment is indeed coming for everyone, for all the earth. Now Zephaniah, the prophet, moves into naming names, if you would. He's calling on different nations, and he's saying, different groups, people groups, saying, okay, you guys did this, and this is what's going to happen to you. You didn't believe. You didn't hear and have faith. You came against the Lord and His people. And for that, you're going to not just pay a penalty, but you will suffer the ultimate penalty. Not just any old penalty, but destruction. The Philistines never really got along well with Israel, okay? This was really not a good situation. First off, the Philistines were, Israel was told basically to destroy them instead of just kind of leaving them here and there, and it ended up not being a good situation. As the Philistines would conquer Israel, and then Israel would go back and conquer the Philistines, and they'd intermarry, and they'd have a little of this and a little of that, and it really messed up Israel. Because they didn't do what it was that God had directed them to do the first time. And they didn't live the way God had told them to live. But the Philistines, you know, they kept coming against God's people, and they were still God's chosen people, Israel. So there's a penalty for that. What we see is that the places that are important to them, they're going to be abandoned. They're going to be, at one point we're told that the land by the sea where the Carathites dwell will be a place for shepherds and sheep pens. Ever been in a sheep pen? Stinks. It's not pleasant. Unless you're a sheep farmer. Then you think it's... No, even a sheep farmer doesn't think a sheep pen is nice. Nope. And this is what... One of their prize areas. It's like saying, you know, downtown Washington, D.C., it's going to be a sheep pen. We're going to have a few shepherds there. It'll be pen. Hold it. It's the center of our government. It's the center of our world. here in the United States, you know, we happen to think a lot of Washington, D.C. Okay, maybe not, but kind of go with me on this one, okay? It is an important place for our country, for our nation. And if somebody from some other group says, hey, guess what we're going to do to Washington, D.C.? We'd go, now go with me here. No! We're not going to say, yeah, good job. We shouldn't. Honestly, we shouldn't. It is our seat of government, and it's important to us. We have some of our national treasures there, the Smithsonian Institute, monuments. To think that Arlington Cemetery could be turned into a sheep pen? No. Doesn't make me happy. Well, this is the type of thing that Zephaniah is speaking to the Philistines. He's saying, this is what's going to happen to your nation. It's done for. You as a people, forget about it. Any power you had, it's going to be gone. So it's going to belong to the remnant of the house of Judah. The remnant of the house of Judah? Oh yeah, that's right. Remember, the house of Judah wasn't behaving so well. They were worshiping all these false gods. So the people that, just because they were Jews or from the house of Judah, you know, no. That didn't give them a free pass. It's the remnant, those that actually followed the Lord. Those are the ones who are going to be set over this area. It will belong to the remnant. And there they will find pasture. That means that they're going to have a place to rest. That in the evening, they will lie down in the houses that somebody else built. Sounds pretty good. You know, walk into a city, say, nope, I like that house. That's what's being presented. Wow. Okay. How would you like it? Somebody showed up and said, I like your house. Leave. I don't think anybody here would say, okay, I think that's a good idea. But yet that is basically what it would be. Because either they would have to move or they would already have been destroyed. Saying that the Lord will care for them and that He will restore their fortunes. Because the Jews had been, His people had been pushed down. But instead now, He's lifting them up. We see that Moab and Ammon run into the same type of judgment. Therefore, surely, as I live, declares the Lord Almighty, Moab will be like Sodom. The Amorites like Gomorrah. Why? Because they had made threats against his people. He'd come against them. And their cities, you know, be like Sodom and Gomorrah, which is what? Gone. Total destruction. It's like a salt pit. What's in a salt pit? Nothing. It's a hole. Oh, you got salt around it. Well, salt is good. I like to put a little salt on my food. Nothing grows there. While salt may be necessary for life, an overabundance of salt will kill you and will kill all other life in that area. That's why it's such a wonderful preservative. No bugs will grow there. And this is what they will get in return for their pride, for insulting and mocking the people of the Lord Almighty. Those people who are running around saying that God is nothing. Now, is that still happened today, people? Is this just something that happened 2,000, 3,000 years ago? No. My goodness, this is exactly what's going on today in our schools, our university, in places all around our country and this world. We've got people who mock and deride those who have faith. They come and they say, you know, it's because they don't have enough upstairs. They're not well educated. Or they're just not really all that bright. So they have to have these folk tales. Because we know that science is what's right. And they put their faith in man and man's wisdom. Well, if there's anything we know for a fact is that man's wisdom is not something that's worth putting our faith in. How many times have we been wrong? Just this morning. Yeah. I think that, weren't they worried about people dying because cars, when they were talking, if they got over 30 miles an hour, people would die from going so fast? Nope, didn't kill a lot of people. Okay, yeah, going fast can lead to people dying, but it's not the going fast that causes the death, it's the sudden stop. No, man is wrong all the time. So when we're insulting and mocking the people of the Lord, or insulting or mocking of God, this is stuff that's going on today. It's what's happening. It's not, I was talking about Moab and Ammon and the Philistines. These are just different facets of our society today. These places of higher learning. I am sorry, but Harvard Divinity School does not teach anything about the divine nature of God. It started out to do so. But I don't know, as a school, I'm not going to talk about the individuals, I don't know them all. I don't know any of them personally. All I know is what has come out in their writings. And by their writings, I've not seen anybody there who actually believes that God is real. They're insulting and mocking of all that God teaches. We see that in many universities. And what we're told is that the Lord will be awesome to them. Now, I'm a child of the 60s and 70s. Awesome, dude, has a totally different connotation for me than what I'm reading right there. Awesome. What is it? It's not, I don't think it means what I think you mean. You think that word means, to quote a very wise man from The Princess Bride, Mr. Montoya. I do not think that word means what you think it means. Because in today's society we talk about, awesome, man, that's really cool. Awesome is just an adjective that means that we like it. That it's fantastic. That it's a little above average. God's going to be a little above average to these guys. God is going to be cool to these guys. God is going to do something that they're really going to like. I don't think so. That's not what awesome means. Certainly not in this context. Well, what does it mean? Awesome. awe. I think it's more a little bit closer to the shock and awe that they were talking about at the start of the sort of second part of the Iraq-Iran, or the, not Iraq-Iran, but the Iraqi war. The plan was shock and awe. They said, well, what do they mean, awe? We want them to be so intimidated, we want them to be so, that they'll just drop their weapons. That's awe. What's going to be happening to these people is so intimidating, is so tremendously beyond the scope of what everyday comprehension would be of judgment. Okay, this is not a good thing that's going to happen to them. That will bring awe. Awe is where you go and maybe fall down. Okay? At the very least, run away. Awesome. God is going to be awesome to them. We say, our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above. Love, our God is an awesome God. Okay. He is awesome. Yes, He is good. He is tremendous. But He is awesome. His power, His strength, when He moves with His mighty hand, well, it's not a slap on the wrist. It's not a pat on the dupa. It's literally the crushing of an insect from somebody who weighs as much as an elephant. And that's even short of the mark of just what is awe. And this is what God is going to bring to them. Why? Because of their pride, their insulting and mocking of His people, because of their attacks against His people. Because they did not bow down to Him. Because they came against what He said. Well, who is He that all must bow down? He is awesome. He is God. He is the Creator. He is the one and only who has the right to say, thou shalt and thou shalt not. Shall have no other gods before me. Islam basically says you're not supposed to have any God, period. This is what's coming. And what follows God's judgment is God's blessing upon the remnant. Those who are left, those who are actually following God, those who are actually worshiping the way that He had told them, those who are actually obeying and following His word, not doing things their way, not doing things as they thought was right, not doing things according to the wisdom of man, but doing things as according to the wisdom of God, according to His word, in His way, in His timing, for His glory. See, if I'm doing stuff for myself, nope, it's not going to cut it. So you're saying, Pastor, that it's all about works. No, it's not about works. It's about real faith. If you really honestly believe that Jesus is the Lord and Savior, if you really honestly believe that He died for your sins on the cross, if you really honestly, truly think that He is God, and He is awesome, You're going to do what he says. You're going to love him. You're going to obey him. It's not the works that get it there. It's the heart relationship with him. The other is just an outflow of it. But we're told here is that the day of judgment is coming, that the people who are against him are going to see destruction, and we see how complete that destruction is. In the last sentence that we read this morning, it really lays it out. The nations on every shore will worship him, every one in its own land. The nations on every shore. It means the whole world is going to worship. The whole world. When he brings his awesome nature and acts in an awesome manner towards those who stand against him. They'll have no choice but to worship. So that all will bow down before him. This isn't the first time we see that prophecy. It's not the last. And that is what our future is. All will bow down before the Lord. But some will be destroyed, and some, we're told here, that he will restore their fortunes. Restore. Bring them back to having that close, intimate relationship and walk that Adam and Eve first had. That even Moses experienced with God, like no one else. That is the type of relationship that we're supposed to have with God. When we speak to him face to face. When we enter into his presence. And we do the work that he puts before us. Again, for his glory. Two sides. The remnant, those who follow, and those who are against. One will be destroyed, the other will be restored. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, even a prophet who some of us here might not even have remembered was even in the Bible. I know I've often said Zephaniah and not even remembered that. And I've read it before, Lord. A minor prophet. Yet what he says and speaks is no minor message. It's your word. In power and in truth. It's as real today for our lives as anything it could possibly be. Lord, we do ask that you would show us, Lord, where we're at before our awesome God. Might we recognize truly what is coming is not that this awesome day of judgment is not one of that we can even comprehend the magnitude of it and what will occur. But but that without you and a right relationship with you, Lord, that we're lost. But that if we lean on you fully and completely, not only will you take us through those times of difficulty and trial, not just tribulation, but awesome, those times of awe, destruction, but Lord, you will then restore us, restore our fortunes, provide a place for us to have peace in your presence. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Jesus the Son. We thank you, Holy Spirit. Amen.